And I do hope I have with me on the line Rabbi Galperin. Rabbi, are you with me?
How are you, Ilan?
I am fine, and I can hear you loud and clear.
Beautiful. How is everything doing?
Everything is good. Everything is good.
Very
getting
good.
Ready for the Passover.
Yep, getting ready for Pesach. You know, and getting ready for Pesach is sometimes, you know, people take it, you know, like it's such a hard work and it's very stressful. But on the one hand, yes, it is, you know, a lot of tedious and a lot of work. But we try and we make it in a way that it's a little fun. Get the kids involved in helping clean the house a little bit. You know, don't know how much that gets cleaned with them helping, but, you know, you get them involved. It's a family time as well. So Pesach is a very, very beautiful holiday that allows us to be able to spend time with our kids, allows us to be able to maybe bond in a different way with our kids, and it gives us the opportunity to feel free, to practice the freedom that when we were leaving Egypt. The eighth day of Pesach is celebrated in early spring generally, and it commemorates the time that the Israelites, the Jews, were finishing their slavery in ancient Egypt. And by following the rituals of Passover, we have the ability to relive and experience the true freedom that our ancestors truly lived. And everyone knows, obviously, the story of Pesach, that after many decades of slavery to the Egyptian pharaohs, during which the Israelites were subject to, obviously, back-breaking labor and unbearable horrors, God saw the people that they were in distress and sent Moses to Pharaoh. Send my people go, so they may serve me. Let them out.
Yeah, and we're going to have that song later on after the interview.
Very good. He's getting in the Pesach spirit already.
Yeah.
And obviously, despite numerous warnings, Pharaoh refused to heed God's command. And God sent upon the Egyptians 10 devastating plagues that were inflicting on them, destroying everything that they had, their livestock, their crops, and so on. And it was at the stroke of midnight on the 15th day of Nisan, which was about 2,448 years, I believe, from the creation of the world. And God visited the last of the 10 plagues of the Egyptians, killing all their firstborn. And while doing so, God spared the children of Israel by passing over their homes. That's why, obviously, we have the name of Passover.
Yeah.
And Pharaoh really saw that he had no choice, and he basically tried to drive all the Jews out of Egypt. He said, get out, leave right now, in a hurry. Don't waste any time. And because of that, they had really no time to be able to prepare anything. That's why we have the masa, which is the unleavened bread that they took on the back, and they let the sun bake as they were walking.
Quickly.
Right. So, and because we have that unleavened bread, there's something that we do not eat. Which is called chametz. Bread, cookies, cakes, anything that has something that has the potential to rise.
Yeah.
Cereal, pasta, most alcoholic beverages, I'm sorry, has chametz, wheat, so on
like
and so
whiskey.
Forth. Correct, whiskey, beer, vodka. There are some tequilas and vodkas that are kosher for Pesach that can be ordered. So they're not the greatest, however, can make do at least a little bit in regards to that.
And of course, wine.
Oh, yeah, plenty of wine. So one of the things is that this year Pesach falls out Friday evening. So Thursday evening, we're going to search and check for our chametz. We're going to make sure that our house is rid of it. At that period of time, you've done all the cleaning. The spring cleaning is a good excuse. And your house is clean and you're ready to start Pesach. But now we have to check for the Passover before Passover, which is Friday evening. So when we're going to be making the blessing to be able to check the chametz, generally you have nothing left in your house. So when you're going to make in the bracha that says I'm going to search now for the chametz, I should be able to find chametz, the unleavened bread.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The regular prayer.
Yeah. But now, obviously, I'm not going to find any because the house is so clean. So when I'm making a bracha, a blessing, I'm saying God's name in vain because I'm not going to find anything.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we do is we take 10 pieces of bread and we wrap them up in newspaper, not foil, because when we're going to burn it the next day, it's not going to burn. And you wrap it up in newspaper. And once you wrap it up in newspaper, you put it in your living room, your dining room, somewhere around that you can remember where to find it, because you need to find all the 10 pieces. You don't want to be left with one piece of chametz in the middle of Passover. And you make the blessing, and you go in search, and you find all the 10 pieces. So now I haven't made God's name and made the blessing, and then I've now found my chametz.
Actually, just for our listeners to know, especially not the Jewish listeners, you have to look for the chametz with a candle and a feather, right?
That's correct. And so a lot of people, they switch off the lights, and now this is a whole adventure for the kids.
Yeah.
You're switching off the lights, and you're going to go into, you just got to be careful. You make sure that the kids aren't running around with the candle near curtains and that type of thing. But it's a beautiful experience for the kids as well.
Yeah.
And another place where we would check besides the house, besides your garage and your car, you also want to check your pockets of your clothing. Sometimes, you put the granola bar wrapper or you put a candy in there, where it's chametz, and you're putting on your pair of pants, you're like, oops, what did I just find in my pocket?
Yeah.
We've got to be very careful, because the concept of having chametz in your house is very, very great than the whole period of Pesach. It's a very, very, we really need to be very, very careful. One thing I would say is, what happens if you find chametz, you're sitting by the Passover Seder, and all of a sudden, one of your kids come and say, hey, Dad, look what I found.
Pizza bread.
Right underneath the couch. And now we've got a big problem. Because it's chametz. You can't have it in your house, not even for 1 second. And the fact that it's going to be the first day of Yom Tov or Shabbat, and the second day, you cannot burn, you cannot do anything. So what we do is we've got to cover it up, make sure it's wrapped away, cover it up in a good spot. And then that evening, the first time that the first part of the holiday finishes, you go outside and you burn that piece of chametz, because we want to make sure that we don't have any resemblance of that chametz in our house.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we have, the Seder, where we have the matzah, which is the unleavened bread, and we have 3 matzahs that we put on the Seder table on the plate, each one representing a different level in the Jewish, you have the Kohen, the priest, and Levi, and the Israelite, the regular Jew.
Yeah.
So we take one per each one of them and put those on the Seder plate. As well as we have the bitter herbs of, in regards to, when we were crying and we were bitter in Egypt, we be able to remind ourselves about that.
Avadim ha'inu lepar'o b'Mitzrayim.
Correct. We also have 4 cups of wine or grape juice, whichever one is preferred more by the person. And the reason we have 4 cups of wine, the Torah uses 4 expressions of freedom, of deliverance in connection with our liberation of Egypt. Both safety, and I'll take you out, be salty, and I'll save you. The lakachti, and I took you. The galti, and I redeemed you.
Yeah.
So we have those 4. There's also another reason that the children of Israel had 4 great merits even while they were in exile. Number 1, they did not change their Hebrew name. Number 2, they continued to speak their own language, in other words, Hebrew. Number 3, they remained highly moral. And number 4, they remained loyal to one another. Even in those desperate times, they never turned their back on anyone. And the reason why most of the time people use wine, if you're able to, is because wine is the symbol of joy and happiness.
Happiness, yeah.
And now, when you go around the table, you ask the 4 questions, and you're going to have the kids asking the questions, be able to...
Manishtana,
you ask the youngest kid. But there are people that have customs that not only the youngest kid does it. The first, you start with the youngest kid, and then everyone asks the question either together or separately, because we are, at the end of the day, we are all children of God. And if we're all children of God, we're the youngest, we still ask the Manishkana. Not everyone does that. A lot of people do that. Most people will just ask the youngest in their family,
yeah,
to be able to ask the question. And then obviously we go through the whole period of time. We go through the whole explanation of the Haggadah, and we eat the Hillel sandwich. Everyone loves that, and we open the door for Elijah. And as the Seder goes on. Now, you know, a lot of people ask and say, what really is a woman's role in the Seder? Does a woman even have a role in the Seder? And, you know, people, you know, the woman works very hard preparing.
A lot of preparation.
A lot of preparation.
That's the hardest one, hardest
exactly.
Holiday.
Exactly. The food and the cleaning and everything else, and then no comments coming here and there and so on and so forth. So, does the woman just have the role of being the worker and preparing everything, and then it comes to the state that she has no obligation or no role in it as much as the man? And a lot of people ask that question. And rarely, at a traditional Seder, people think that, you know, the role of the woman is nothing really beyond just eating the food. Do they have to read the Haggadah? And the answer is that that's absolutely false. Because the role of a woman at the Seder is the same as the role of a man. To recount, to discuss, and delve into the miracle of the Exodus and how it relates to us today. They were also involved in Egypt. It wasn't only the men. And it's brought down in many, many holy books that they should definitely read from the Haggadah. And they can take, even if they want, a leading role in the Seder and explaining the Haggadah and discussing commentary on it. And halakhically, according to the Jewish law, it's not a custom. This is not something that I made up, or something that you might want to do, you might not want to do. Halakhically, according to the Jewish law, there is no distinction between a man and a woman with regards to the night's obligation of eating the matzah. They have the exact same obligation as we do. Drinking the wine, they have the exact same obligation. Eating the bitter herb, retelling the story of Haggadah, of Pesach. So they have the exact same role as a man in doing it. And it's important that when a person does a Seder, that everyone gets included in the Seder. Ask the kids to be able to ask questions. Let them say an explanation, maybe a thought that they heard in school, in Hebrew school, wherever it may be. Let the woman get involved. Maybe, you know, the man and the wife could spend a couple of minutes going on the computer and trying to, you know, find a little bit of things that they can say at the Seder to enhance the Seder. So the Seder is a time that everyone is, no one person greater than the others. Everyone gets involved. Everyone has that obligation to be able to read and to be able to discuss and to be able to elaborate on our freedom from Egypt. And that is something that I encourage everyone to do. It's very important that everyone sits together the Seder night and talks about and goes through all the customs so the kids feel that we were slaves and now we are free. And that's the beauty and the importance of the Pesach Seder, of the Passover holiday in general.
That's great. So this week we talked about the preparations for the Seder.
And hopefully next week we'll try and maybe talk maybe a little bit more insights. Maybe I might get a lucky, so maybe I could get a recipe for my wife or something.
Oh, that'll be great. Yeah, and we can talk about all the kinds of food that we eat and the symbols that they have.
Correct.
There's a lot of to talk about.
We need to have a year to talk about everything about the Seder. There's so much to talk about on Pesach.
Yeah.
But we'll try and condense it to as much as we can.
We will do that. Now, what about services at Sha'arei Tzedek this Shabbat?
We have services Friday evening, 7 o'clock, and Shabbat morning, Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. But I do also want to mention that next week, Friday night, is the first night of the Pesach, and we do have our annual community Seder, the first. I know Bethel has, I guess, Bethel has
and
the second.
Bethel has a second Seder dinner.
Right. And, you know, we have the first night we have a community seder. It's going to be held at the Shah HaShemayim, and I really encourage everyone that doesn't have a seder to go to come and join. We do everything in Hebrew, English. We sing traditional songs. There's a lot of different grapes and wine. The food is catered by Mazal, so it's a lot of good food.
And kosher.
And kosher. We have handmade shmura matzah, the handmade manas, the machine matzah, the handmade matzah that is washed from the beginning of harvest to the packaging. We have that at the seder. And I encourage everyone, whoever doesn't have a place to go for the seder, to please get in touch with either myself through emailing windsorrabbi@gmail.com or calling the Shah HaShemayim's office to make a reservation. And actually, till this Friday, the end of the week, there is a discount for anyone that does reserve. It's one price, which is $36 a person, and if you reserve after next week, it's $40 a person. 13 years and under, it's 18 or 20. So I encourage everyone that doesn't have a place to go and would like a taste of seder to come.
And same with the congregation Beth El, everybody is welcome.
Correct.
There's so going to be a nice second seder.
The community is covered with both seders. So
yeah, that's
thing.
Good. That's good.
And that's a beautiful thing. So wishing everyone a happy cleaning. And God willing, we'll talk next week and we'll talk about more about the symbols and maybe a recipe or two in regards to Pesach.
That'll be great. So Rabbi, Shabbat Shalom and thank you.
Thank you.
And with God's help, we'll talk with you next week.
Be well. Have a good week.
You too.